Hello, everyone. My name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. First, I want to take a quick moment to give thanks to my dad. The reflection for this gospel for this weekend is the product of a great conversation I had with him, the product of his prayer and reflection about this gospel, of my prayer and reflection about this gospel, and the Lord allowing us to discuss it passionately and to share our conversations with the Lord, with each other. So please say a prayer for my dad and for the ministry he does as a deacon. Now, this weekend we read Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. This encounter with the Canaanite woman whose daughter is possessed, is tormented by a demon. And Jesus acts very un-Jesus-like. First thing he offers her is indifference. Says he doesn't even say a word in answer to her. Then when she keeps insisting, he responds to his disciples' to his followers' request to send her away by offering a religious-based, a faith-based justification for excusing himself from dealing with her. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And finally, when she keeps insisting, he then treats her as his disciples would find to be a very normal interaction between a Jew and a Canaanite woman, which is he calls her a dog. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. He calls her a dog. Now, I want you to pay attention what's really happening here, because it's very easy to be troubled by, I mean, who wouldn't? This is not the Jesus we're used to. He shows her indifference. He excuses himself from acting and being the Messiah and uses a religious justification to do so. And then on top of that, he doesn't act as one who is bucking cultural convention like he does every other place in the Gospels. Instead, he's giving in to the cultural bias of his people. And we're like, where is this going, Lord? What's happening? Why are you behaving un-Jesus-like? And I think this is what's happening. He is acting as a mirror to what's really happening inside the hearts and minds of his disciples. He is acting as a mirror to their inner life. He's giving voice to the silent things that live in their heart. You see, at first he offers her indifference, because that's what we do. This is what we do. I don't want to deal with this person. I don't want to deal with this problem. I don't want you to be bumped off the course that I have chosen to take. I'm just going to pretend that she's not there, that her pain doesn't exist, that her daughter's needs are not my concern. If I can just walk by and do nothing, say nothing, don't look, then it'll be okay. But the truth is that that's just a first line of defense. It's the first line of a deeper, more troubling thing that lives in us because of sin. Then he, when he sees that his disciples don't actually advocate for the woman, when they are actually saying, send her away, then he reveals the second deeper layer of this problem. He gives voice to what we all do. We all do this. Everybody does this. When we want to excuse ourselves from the call to holiness, from the call to love, from the call to charity, from the call to forgiveness and compassion, what do? We find some way of twisting the word of God, of twisting the beliefs of the content of our faith to justify our sinning by commission or omission. And so that's what Jesus does. He comes up with a convenient way of excusing himself from dealing with her by providing a religious justification for his is essentially the sin of omission that all his disciples are more than comfortable with. Finally, we get to the real heart of it, because the woman's insistence, and this is why it's so important to continue to be faithful. To be faithful when we're faced with indifference, rejection, and revilement, is her insistence, her perseverance and faith make the ugliness of their heart obvious. Finally, we get to the heart of it. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Does anybody say anything? Any of the disciples? No. They're like, oh, well, he said it out loud. It lives in my heart, and he dared to say it out loud, so it must be okay. Think about how that fits our culture. How many people are saying the ugly things out loud, and it justifies believing these ugly, terrible things about other people because someone dared to say them out loud? We've been practicing them and acting as though they were true silently. Jesus says the silent part out loud. Do any of them go, whoa, Lord, you're calling her a dog? What's going on with you? No. All of them are interiorly going, yeah, that's right. I'm glad somebody said it. But then he reveals that this is just him correcting and bringing to the light what lives in their heart. Then he responds like the Jesus we know. O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. You see, he responds to her faith. He responds to her need, revealing that the indifference, that just the excuse and the rejection that he offered her, though it lives in the heart of his disciples, it does not live in the heart of the Lord. And that's whose heart our heart has to reflect. And so he's doing two things at the same time. The first is he's revealing in this woman the power of being faithful when culture rejects us, which is it makes the ugly obvious so it can be addressed. I think we worry about fitting in when we, in fact, should be unbothered by it. We should only be bothered by whether we are living the gospel or not, whether our prayer is insistent, whether we are persevering in charity and love and hope and justice and in compassion. And then when people reject the living out of the gospel, either by being indifferent to us or to the needs of others, or by coming up with some religious justification, no matter how ridiculous it is, some twisting of the gospel, or by giving in to the cultural biases that live so prevalently in every one of us, living out the real, true gospel always will bring those things out to the light so that they can be dealt with, corrected, healed, transformed, and we can call people to genuine and true conversion. For his disciples, this is a shameful moment. Jesus just gave voice to the deepest, darkest, most bothersome and sinful thoughts they harbor, the tendencies that they have grown up with, the sinful things that have become acceptable by culture to reduce this Canaanite woman to something less than human and her daughter. And he brings them to the forefront and then rejects them thoroughly by responding to her. That's what should happen with us. We should be looking at, who am I indifferent to? In what ways, to whom have I justified not loving, not forgiving, not caring for, not interceding for, not helping heal, not being charitable to, and found some way of twisting the gospel to justify my desire rather than pleasing the Lord, rather than doing what the Lord calls me to? Who have I rejected as an other, as less than human, for whatever reason, for whatever sin, that whether they are responsible for it or not? This woman isn't even responsible for where she was born, being a Canaanite. But that was enough to reject her. That was enough to call her a dog. What happens with the ones that we have good reason, or at least what we feel are good reasons, to call something less than human? What about the person who does something monstrous? We call them a monster, and yet they're still a person that needs to be called to conversion and be dealt with the same love and compassion that the gospel, love, compassion, understanding, correction, and charity that the gospel calls us to. Who have we been indifferent to? Who have we excused ourselves from serving by twisting the Lord's word? Who have we simply not even acknowledged as another fellow human being because of some bias, cultural, political, spiritual, national, or whatever? That's what's being addressed here. The Lord is putting in display just how ridiculous and incongruent with the gospel that is. And if he calls it out in his own disciples by making them see it, how much more will he do with us? How much more will he put our shame on display if it means correcting us? If it means that we change, if it means that our heart is conform to his. So that's my challenge to us. Who am I being indifferent to for no reason other than dealing with them would be inconvenient? Whom have I chosen not to love and found some way of twisting the word of God to justify it, of narrowing the scope of the mission of love God calls me to make sure that I don't have to deal with them? Whom have I treated as an other whom I can excuse not dealing with as a human being that requires my love, my care, my prayer, my charity, because they're somehow different than me, because they're somehow an other thing, not an other person? That's the call of this gospel. The Lord is letting us see. You can love like me or not at all. You can see others like I see them, or risk not seeing them at all.